going to see Jesus. Everyone will see Jesus. And it may be sooner than we think. Prepare the way. Make sure your heart is right with God. Don't wait. Prepare today. God wants to use you and I as His vessels. And that means that you and I have got to surrender and yield ourselves fully to Him. He's looking for workers in these last days. Will you be one that will say, "Here am I, Lord, send me"? Or are we going to just let the opportunity slip by? And someday the Lord will call us to account. And He will ask, "What did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with your talents? What did you do with the anointing that I invested in you?" And we want to be found faithful, don't we? We want to hear the Lord say, "Well done. Well done." If there is a desire in your heart today to know and do the will of God, that's a good thing. Amen. Because the flesh nature doesn't care. That means that God is in you and that He's drawing you. But you know that God wants you and I to seek Him. Amen? I know we're all hoping that we'll just sit around and watch TV some night and an angel will interrupt the show. But God says, "Seek my face." And we reply, "Your face, Lord, we will seek." Do you know that God wants us to seek His face? To go after Him. To pursue Him relentlessly. I want to see the Lord. I want to hear His voice. I want to know His heart. I want to know His will. I want to know what's His pleasure. I want to know what I can do to bring pleasure to my God. I want the Lord to be pleased with me in that day and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Because there will be many who will hear, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." But we're not of those who shrink back, amen, to destruction, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Preparation is that which the Spirit does in our hearts. We cannot change our hearts. That's a work of the Holy Spirit, amen? Through the Word of God that transforms us. God's not putting patches on people, He's changing people. Transforming lives. So if you just want to put a patch on your old self, it ain't going to work. Because eventually it's going to tear, amen? It's going to be very obvious. I have never been disappointed when I have surrendered my heart to Jesus. I have never been disappointed that I did that. Has anybody here ever been disappointed when you surrendered your heart to Jesus? Has anybody found that was probably the best decision you ever made in your life? If you're here today and you haven't really, really given your heart to Jesus Christ, surrendered your heart to Jesus, listen to the witnesses that are here today that will tell you that there's just nothing that this world can offer that can compare to the glory of the Lord and that which He will give to His own who choose Him. We live for Him alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have Your way. Have Your way in me. Well, you know, I really want to get into the Word this morning. And we are just a blessed people. We are a blessed people. Has anybody beside myself ever been disappointed?
No?
Never been disappointed? Yeah. I see that hand. Now, most of us are fully aware of the consequences for our actions. You know, most of us are aware that there are consequences for choices, decisions that we make. And a wise man will learn from not only his own mistakes, but from the mistakes of others. That the things that we do often can bring sorrow, and they can bring shame in our lives. But, folks, what about the times when you're doing everything you know that is right, and nothing seems to be going right in your life? Has anybody beside myself ever been there? And you start asking the question, what did I do to deserve this? Well, you might have done something to deserve it. I don't know. But we do need to find out. We need to ask God, Lord, is there something that, you know, have I offended you? Is there sin? Is there unforgiveness in my heart? Lord, just point it out to me, because I'm more than happy to repent. I want to walk in repentance. How many know that repentance is more than just saying, God, I'm sorry? Repentance means that I have turned away from that sin, and I am now following hard after God. You can't turn away from sin unless you're following after God. Some people try to just stop sinning, you know, by as an act of their will, and not really pursue God other than sing a few songs on Sunday morning, maybe. Or having a little, now I lay me down to sleep. But when you pursue the Lord, when you are actively engaging in a passionate pursuit of His presence, how many know that sin automatically goes away? If you're just trying to be better, work harder, strive harder, you're just going to find that that thing's going to keep conquering you. Because the only way to overcome sin is by the grace of God. And the grace of God is released as we come boldly, confidently before His throne of grace. And we receive from the Lord that which we need to overcome. Because in and of ourselves, we are not overcomers. The overcomer is in us if you're in Christ Jesus. And therefore, you need to tap in to Him who is the overcomer. God wouldn't ask us to pray unless we needed to. God wouldn't tell us to approach His throne unless we needed to. God wouldn't say, be filled with my Spirit unless we needed to. So if we think that we can just do it as an act of my will, I'm just going to try to be a better person today. Well, no. What you need to do is die. And Christ wants to live. In the sense that as we walk with Him in relationship, as we worship God, as we pray, as we sing, as we walk with Him, the strength of the Lord, amen, is released in us. The ability to do that which we can't do ourselves is released. It's called grace. By the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. We can't be good enough. What we need is to pursue God. We need to follow after God. As you pursue the Lord, as you seek Him, as you worship Him, sin loses its power. Because no flesh shall glory in His presence. How many know that you can't really worship God in spirit and live out in the flesh at the same time? You can't walk, if you're really walking in the Spirit, you can't live a double life. Well, some people try. How many of you have ever asked the question, has God forsaken me? Does God know what's happening in my life? Do you think God could possibly be at work in our lives? Even when bad things happen to you? How many have ever heard the phrase, life's disappointments are God's appointments? I don't know if I completely agree with that statement. I don't believe that all disappointments are necessarily God's appointments, but there is evidence in Scripture that this is often the case. Would you agree with that? Sometimes we're disappointed because we set expectations on ourselves that God didn't. And therefore, His grace was not available for that because that was what you want. And then we get disappointed because often we set standards for ourselves that are above and beyond what we're even called to. And when we fall short of that expectation, then we're disappointed. And people even get mad at God, and God says, I didn't even tell you to do that. I want you to turn with me, if you would, to Exodus. We're going to take a look at a situation in history that I've shared this before, but it's very, I think it's for somebody here today. Chapter 15 of Exodus. God delivers Israel from the bondage of Egypt. There's this powerful victory. I mean, God shows up miraculously, brings the 10 plagues upon the Egyptians, brings them out by the blood of the Lamb. But all of a sudden, they find themselves in a time of testing. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Has anybody ever gone 3 days without water? Is it fun? Do you think that maybe if God brought you out of a situation and into a situation, and you knew that the Lord had led you out, and all of a sudden you find that, hey, we haven't had any water in a very dry, hot place for 3 days. Do you think that maybe any one of us here today might question what's going on? Of course, none of you would do that, but I think I would probably be saying, God, did we miss something? Did we miss something? We saw what you did, but now we've been 3 days in this hot place, hot, dry place without water. What's going on? Thank you for your comments. So Moses, you know, he brings them out. 3 days without water. And they come to a place called Marah, which means bitter. Verse 23. They could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. The people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? How many have ever looked at God's visitations in your life, God's miracles in your life, the things that God has done in your life, as possibly something that God has invested in you as a point of reference, as something that you could reflect back on when you find yourself in a difficult place? I have witnessed in my own life sometimes great blessings prepare me for great trials. Sometimes we get extremely blessed in different ways. God visits us and blesses us. And yet, sometimes immediately following the time of great blessing, we find ourselves in a place that we've never been before. I believe that God packs our lunch before the journey. He does things and invests things in our lives as points of reference, if you will, a landmark, an old landmark. But remember how I delivered you out of the Egyptians' hands. You know? I bore you on eagle's wings. You remember what I did to the Egyptians, your enemies, how I brought about a great deliverance in your life. And now you find yourself in this place of uncertainty. You find yourself in a place again that you've never been before. And you're beginning to question, what in the world is going on? Have I done something wrong? Not necessarily. Not necessarily have you done anything wrong. But God always allows testings in our lives to prepare us for something greater. We say, Lord, anoint me for greater things. So the Lord says, I will. However, there must be a time of conditioning to prepare you for greater things. You need to be ready for greater things if you're going to ask for greater things. And to get to greater things, you have to go through some stuff. And so when we're going through some hard times, we're going through trials, and we all do, we're not to point the finger and say, oh, there must be sin in their life. We're not to judge one another, because when you're pointing that finger at somebody, you know what? Your day's coming. Just give it a few days. Your day's coming too, where you're going to be tested. You're going to be put in the fires of refinement, because God wants to bring us forth as gold. Amen? He's getting us ready for greater things. He wants His church to be strengthened, conditioned, so that we can stand up in the evil day. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God will set up His standard against him. So great victories prepare us for great testing. So they murmured against Moses. How many believe that God appreciates good murmuring? A good pity party. So what did Moses do? He pulled his hair out and he crowed. What am I going to do? No. Verse 25, he cried out to the Lord. What should we do when things don't make sense or things start to pile up on us? Amen? Shut the TV off and shut yourself in with God. Get in His presence. Get a word from the Lord. Get an instruction from God. Jesus. And the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. How many see a picture of the cross there in verse 25? Amen? It was on an old wooden cross where Jesus suffered and bled for us. He cried. And yet, it was because of Calvary that sweetness has come into our lives today. Goodness has come upon us today. Favor has come upon us today. God's blessing has come upon us because of the ugliness of the cross. Beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And he said in verse 26, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments, keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you. He said, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Amen. How many remember Elijah? Miracle of oil and meal, miracle of the widow's son, contest on Mount Carmel, you know? Where God showed up, man, that was, you know, he was having a hallelujah moment then. And then there's this miracle of drought and rain where he prays that it doesn't rain, it doesn't rain. He prays again and it rains. And then the next thing you know, he's fleeing to Beersheba from that wicked queen Jezebel. Joseph receives promises of greatness. Then he's forsaken by his brothers, sold as a slave. Then again, things begin to look up for Joseph. He becomes a servant of Potiphar, remember? He was blessed by God. Next thing you know, he's being betrayed by Potiphar's wife. And he gets thrown in prison. Just sometimes when things begin to look up. How many have ever testified and said, You know, I got my miracle. However, the story hadn't finished yet. That's why it's important sometimes that you hold off until the completion of the thing before you testify. God's still going to bless you. However, you've got to wait for the process. How about Daniel? God gives Daniel this ability to interpret dreams. He interprets the king's dream. Next thing you know, there's this plot against him, and he gets thrown into the lion's den for praying. You see, the great blessing, and then the time that follows of great testing. How many know that a test is good? If you handle it correctly. The purpose of a test is to try you and to prove whether or not you are ready to move on to the next level. Whether or not you and I are ready to go up, if you will, in maturity. God wants us to be complete. He wants us to be mature. And so there has to be testing in our lives to prove our character. God knows those who are His. He knows what you're going through. It didn't surprise Him what happened to you. He knows all about it. He's bigger than that situation. He's going to get you through that thing. And on the other side, there's going to be a hallelujah time. There's coming a day, amen, of great celebration. And how many know that after you've gone through some times of difficulty, when the blessing comes, it's always so much better. You appreciate those times more when you've gone through some rough times. Yeah. Each case, the faith of these men was tested after the time of blessing. But it was their proper response that brought the blessing in the end. In Elijah's case, Elisha received a double portion because Elijah was faithful to the end. How many remember Joseph, after all he went through, spending years in prison, you know, being sold as a slave, ends up being ruler over Egypt? How about Daniel? He prospered in the reign of Darius. God blessed him in the end, and in the reign of Cyrus as well. Now, here Israel finds themselves in this place after they've been thirsty for 3 days. They finally come upon a place where there's some water. How many would probably be saying, "All right, my miracle has come." And only to drink and to find out that the water's bitter. Ah. What are we going to do? Be a good time to complain, wouldn't it? It would be the wrong thing to do. If you want to be promoted, you've got to handle it correctly. God allows things in our lives for a good reason. He's working out a plan in your life. He's working out something that's going to be eternal. He's producing in you a character, steadfastness, a patience, an endurance in you, an ability for you to be able to stand up under adversity, to persevere under pressure. And the only way that we develop that way is that we... Thank you, Chuck. There's a little secret thing we got going on right now. Yeah. Who cares, right? You got to go through some stuff, amen, to be promoted, to be advanced. How many want to be great in God's kingdom? Man, you should have both hands up. Okay. I want to be great in God's kingdom. I do. We should want to be great in God's kingdom. Why? Because it's an everlasting kingdom. It's for eternity. How are you going to be great in God's kingdom? You're going to be great because you're a servant today. Because you serve God with all your heart today. Because you yield yourself, you submit yourself to the dealings of God in your life, knowing that God is going to produce in you perseverance. He is preparing you for eternity. So you can do all the right things and bad things can still come. But guess what? God has a way of turning any bad situation into something good. Amen? Even a shot in the eye. Johnny said, I don't know if I want to go through that one again, though. That was a good illustration. We got an illustration today. James chapter 1, verse 2. How many remember James saying, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing, that word really means proving, of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its, it says perfect, but it really means mature, complete work. That you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is not talking about just a feeling, by the way, of peace. It means being in right standing with God. Through whom also we have access into this grace in which we stand. How many realize that you can't make it without the grace of God? And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. Another word for character, it means is proven trustiness. And character, hope. That is confident expectation or faith. Proven trustiness and then hope, which is confident expectation or faith. Now hope does not disappoint us because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit is given to us. Would anybody agree with me that character issues are always exposed during these bitter pool experiences? I don't know really much about myself some days. And neither do you. God has to show us ourselves sometimes, doesn't He? He has to reveal it through different means. He does that. Why? Because He wants to make us better. But we first have to come to a realization of our condition so that we can then, as an act of our will, yield to Him and say, Lord, change me. Forgive me. Restore me. Heal me. I didn't realize that junk was in me, God. I confess and I renounce that thing and I ask You to heal me. You see, God wants to heal. God wants to restore. But we tie His hands because He has given you and I what's called free will. If we do not choose to cooperate with the Holy Spirit when He convicts us and convinces us of sin, for example, and if we don't confess and renounce that, then there can't be any healing and restoration in your life. And how many know that sin destroys? So thank God for the times where He turns up the heat in our life. Count it all joy. I'm still working on that one. And you are too. When you fall into various trials, understand this, that a trial is a good thing. A test is. Amen? If it's the Lord allowing that. So that it may, what? Impart something eternal in us. It may prepare us for greater things. I am sick of living for a world that is going to hell. Amen. I want to live for God in heaven. Amen. Yes. And I want to bring the people of this world with me to heaven too. I want them to know this same Jesus that I have come to know. And I want to make Him known to others. And therefore, in order for you and I to bear more fruit, amen, to be mature and to grow up to the place where we're able to really reproduce and be able to also disciple others, we have to be conditioned to do that. We have to wait on the timing of the Lord. We have to wait on the work of the Holy Spirit to be worked out in us. Incrementally, God is preparing you and I. He is at work in your life today. He's at work in your life, in the things that you're experiencing, the uncertainties. These are things that drive us deeper into God. How many know the best place to be is deeper in God? God knows us. He knows how easily led astray we can be. You know? He knows how easy it is for us to get off track and to start to forget, why am I on this planet in the first place? We are to be an ambassador of heaven. And we can very easily become distracted and live according to lesser things, live for lesser things, and miss out on the greater things. I don't know about you, but I want my treasure in heaven. Amen? That's going to be eternal. So if you're going through a hard time, rejoice in the Lord anyways. Know that God is for you. He's not against you. God is fully aware of what you're going through right now. And God has provided the grace already for you to overcome it. And as you overcome and you have the right attitude about the things that you're going through, the things that you experience, if you have the right attitude, the Lord will say, move them up to the next level. Come on. We want to grow. Amen. I want to grow. Do you want to grow? It's about our attitude. It's about our faith in God's goodness. How many know that He is working out His plan in your life? If you don't want to go around the wilderness 40 years, amen, and keep repeating the same tests, then it's time to say, okay, God, I may not understand it, but I trust You. And instead of grumbling, I'm going to pray. Amen? Instead of grumbling, I'm going to praise You. Instead of walking around like I've been sucking lemons, I'm going to rejoice in You. I'll give You a sacrifice of praise. I may not even feel like it, but I'm going to praise You anyways. I'm going to rejoice in hope. I know my God is with me. My God is for me. And He's working out something good. He wants to take me up higher. Amen. He wants to take you up higher. Thank You, Jesus. So be of good cheer. In this world, you'll have tribulation. You'll have difficulties. You'll go through trials. You'll go through testings. Don't grumble about it. Pray. Amen? Rejoice. How many have ever experimented with that and just realized that even when you're going through a rough time, if you can just kind of turn away from yourself, turn away from your problems, and really start to turn towards Jesus, and really start to praise Him and rejoice in Him, and maybe even do yourself a favor and dance in the Spirit, that all of a sudden you'll find those shackles, those chains, those things, that heaviness, that depression, that stuff will come snapping right off of you. See, there's a witness here today, isn't there? When we just rejoice in the Lord when it feels good. No! Rejoice in the Lord how often? Always. Now I know I don't think there's anybody here, including myself, that does that. But how many would like to do that? How many believe that God, that would please God? That would please Father? That we will rejoice in Him always. We will remember when we're going through, amen, the times of stubbing our toes, you know? We can look at the cross and remember what Jesus paid for us. And rejoice in our salvation. Rejoice in our deliverance. Remember the great deliverance out of Egypt from the devil, amen? From his hordes. Rejoice in our great salvation as they passed through the Red Sea and they came up and they rejoiced. Horse and rider cast into the sea. and rejoice in the Lord and remember the faithfulness of God when you're going through it. God has already placed those landmarks. He's already placed those points of reference within your spirit. Remember the Lord. Remember His promises when you go through the fires, when you go through the difficulties. Remember the faithfulness of the Lord and rejoice in the Lord. Encourage yourself in the Lord, and the Lord will find pleasure in you. And you say, now that's maturity. You didn't want to go to work today, but you've grown up and you're a mature person now. And it doesn't matter whether you feel like going to work. You got to go to work. How many see it? We rejoice anyways. I'm telling you, it's the best thing. Is to just say, you know what? I can wallow in this thing. I can just, you know, spend all my time just grumbling and complaining about something that most of the time I have no power over anyways, no control over. Or I can just say, God, You see it. You're bigger than the situation. I'm going to rejoice in You instead. And if You handle it correctly, I'm done. If You handle it correctly, God will promote you. Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads? Father God, thank You for the Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord, for being with us today and teaching us and encouraging us and strengthening us. Holy Spirit, I pray right now in Jesus' name, Lord, that You bring comfort to Your people. Holy Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name. Father, if there is one lost soul here this morning, one who has not repented of their sins, is not sure that if they were to die today, they would be with Jesus. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that You would convince that one. Lord, I pray that You would turn our hearts towards You. I pray that You would grant us repentance unto life. Father, grant us the grace that we need to overcome the world. You said in this world we will have tribulation, we'll have difficult times. But we are to be of good cheer because You have overcome the world. Lord, I pray today, if there is one person that doesn't know You, that this day salvation would come. I want to ask you, my friend, today, if you're here, you're not ready to meet God. You're not ready to meet Jesus. You would just slip up your hand and say, that's me. I want to be ready to meet Jesus. Just slip your hand up if that's you today. Father God, I thank You right now for the work of Your Holy Spirit. Maybe you've been backslidden. Maybe you're not really living a sold out life for Jesus Christ. But today, God has spoken to your heart. God has spoken to you today that you need to completely surrender your life to Him and you need to serve Him with all your heart. If that's you today, I want to pray for you as well. Would you be honest enough to slip up your hand and say, I want to really surrender my life to Jesus and to His service? God will deal with an honest heart. Would you stand with me this morning? Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. The Bible also says, if there are any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And if they've committed any sins, they'll be forgiven them. If you're sick today, do you need a healing from the Lord today? We're going to dismiss in just a moment. I want you to come up. We're going to pray for you. God is healing folks just about every time we get together. We'll come up not to be prayed for again, but come up today to be healed today. And I believe God will meet you today if you come in faith. And in the name of Jesus, Father, I pray Your blessing over every person, that You will guard and keep each one of us, Lord, in Your grace, in Your mercy. Preserve our souls, Lord, under Your heavenly kingdom. Open the eyes of our understanding. Open the eyes of our hearts Lord, to the instructions that you give us daily, to the opportunities you afford us daily, Lord, to serve you. May we be a people, Lord, that you're looking for, the people who are willing, Lord, to go all the way for you and to serve you with all of our hearts. Let your kingdom come into every life and let your will be done. In Jesus' name. God bless you. We'll be here tonight at 6 o'clock. Yeah, folks, we have an announcement real quick.
We have a special birthday girl here today. She's playing the piano. And it's one of her big zero birthdays, so I like celebrating the zero birthdays. And she's, I'm not saying which zero, just a zero birthday. And so we have some cake downstairs and some punch and some birthday cards if you haven't signed them already. And I just want to wish Corinne a happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Rita. Is it a zero birthday?
Come share some cake.
Yeah, brother.